we ran out, which at least indicates people's interest in what we're studying for this year. And so more books have been ordered. Lord willing, hopefully we'll have those before Sunday if you did not get a book. How many here tonight does not have a book? So I see four. Is that right? What I did was I made copies of our PowerPoint that we'll use tonight, and then at least we shall have the lesson and place for your questions. You can fill that out, and then when you get a book, Lord willing, Sunday, you can just transfer that over. These first six lessons deal with designations of the church. We talked about last week, the first one that we covered, which was what? A called out body, right? We are called out of what? Out of the world. Translated in the kingdom of God's Son. Colossians chapter 1 talks about. And so that was a good study. I enjoyed it. Had a lot of good feedback on that lesson. That brings us to our lesson 2, which is on page 12 in your book, which is another designation of the church, which is the household of God. All of these are descriptive phrases, if you will, of God's people. It shows a relationship to one another, relationship to God. This one really focuses on our relationship to God, what is required in that relationship, our relationship with one another. And all of these are important things that we need to take note. There's a lot of references in this lesson. By the way, did you look up all the references? Good student of the Bible, right? Came prepared, looked up all the references because we're not going to have time to look at all of them tonight. We'll spend time looking at a few of them to get the point established. But you've got to do most of that study outside of this class. And you'll benefit from doing that. Number one, the family feature of the church. It's sad when individuals feel like they are all alone. Members of the Lord's church sometimes feel like that they are all alone in the world. Are we ever alone as God's people? The Hebrew writer talked about that in Hebrews chapter 13, that He'll never leave us, never forsake us. But when you think about our relationship to God, our relationship to one another, there's no need to feel like we are all alone. But I understand that feeling, why people feel that way. We probably each, from time to time, have those feelings. But we need to think about being a family member. When we think about the church and our relationship to one another and our relationship to God, the word house is used to designate family. And we use that often. We think about households today. If I asked you who is in your household, well, you wouldn't have any problem of digesting that and analyzing that and spit back an answer to me, because you understand who makes up your house. Well, the Bible similarly uses that word house in that way. And here's some references to that. When you think about Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, he introduces us in verse 1 to Cornelius. And then in verse 2, as he's talking about this man's lifestyle, his character, says that he feared God with all his house. Well, when the Bible uses that word house, what is he talking about? What's that in reference to? His structure that he was living in, his dwelling? Yeah, his household. Members of his household. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, we have another example of that. What was Hebrews 11, 7 about? Noah. What does it say about Noah? Hebrews 11, 7. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Some versions say household. That's really what he's talking about. And so we see that idea back in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 27. Talks about the house of David. And so all these are not talking about a physical structure in which people dwell. It's the Bible's use of what people refer to as metonymy, right? When you have something that is stated but something else is meant. It's the words you don't even have to know. You can still get that meaning right out of the Scriptures without knowing anything about that. Any questions about that or comments? If you have questions, comments, you say them, be concise, and we'll move on so as to be able to get through this lesson and the questions. Right? Church referred to as house of God, meaning family of God. I've talked with you before about 1 Timothy chapter 3 and then verse 15, but if I tarry, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in what? In the house of God. Well, surely he's not talking about God, the God of heaven, having a physical dwelling place, right? But he identifies in that passage what the house of God is. Yeah, which is the church of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And so when someone says, let's go to the house of the Lord, this side of the cross, what is that in reference to? Yep, you're among the household of God tonight. You're among God's people, among the family of God. Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 6. The Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And so you see those references that talk about the house, the household of God, meaning the family of God. Some salient features of God's family, the church. And so you see the connection then between the church and the family of God. One and the same, right? If you're in the church, you're in the family of God. And he'll make that point, I think, a very simple but powerful point, very logical conclusion in just a moment. But notice, if you will, that God is the Father. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15. Someone read that nice and loud for us. Ephesians 3:15. Again, about this family idea. I want to stop here and just ask you. In the Old Testament, in order to be in the covenant relationship with God in a Jewish family, you tell me how one got into that family. Yeah, born into it, right? He's born into that by the very nature of you being born into that family. Now, they had the covenant of circumcision and so forth. But even the Lord Himself in John chapter 3, verse 3, of which we make mention of later on, said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How does one enter into the family of God today? Just briefly, because that's our last point. Okay, by being born again. Now that puzzled Nicodemus. Because he asked the question, how can one who is old be born again? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb? But the Lord wasn't talking about a physical birth. He's talking about a spiritual birth, right? And so if we're going to be in the family of God, we're going to have to be born into the family. Not physically, but spiritually. God is our Father. Ephesians 4, verse 6. What does Paul say in that passage? One God and Father of all. Matthew 23:9, the Lord said, call no man father upon the earth for what? Yeah, one is your Father which is in heaven. It's amazing to me how many in the religious world continue to do exactly what the Lord said not to do. In light of what that passage says, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. And all these are to establish that God has a family, referred to as the household of God, whose house are we if we've obeyed the gospel of Christ. And being in that family that necessitates or establishes some relationships. Number one, we're talking about God is our Father. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, what does the Bible say?
Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for Him. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, from whom are all things, and we exist through Him.
Good. By the way, that's a good passage when you're thinking about refuting the oneness doctrine. A lot of these passages are. And so again, the idea that God is the Father. Christ, a Son over the house of God, Hebrews 3, verse 6. And again, we already talked about that. Again, identify who the house is that he talks about in that passage. Whose house are we? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Christians, his brethren. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. And so we have a relationship with the Creator, right? Our Father, in Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Matthew 23:8. What's that passage say?
That you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren.
Yeah. So the Bible identifies God as our Father, Jesus as our brother, and He's identified as a lot more than just our brother. We know He's a high priest and a propitiation and advocate. And the list just goes on and on. And then relative to one another, we are, again, what? Brethren. In this family, this relationship. Do you think about your own household? There's a father, mother, brethren, brothers, sisters. And the Bible puts it in this way because we can understand that relationship. Though the church was in the eternal mind or purpose of God, He instituted the family first. Right? In Matthew chapter 25 and in verse 40, the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And so hopefully when we look at this designation of the household of God and we begin to see our relationship to God and our relationship to Jesus and our relationship to one another, hopefully that clear up maybe our attitude toward one another, our disposition toward one another, our responsibility, we're getting ready to talk about that, to one another. In a physical family, are there often conflicts? Yes, there are. Right? Brothers quarrel and they argue and they fuss and they fight. And moms and dads settle those things. And well, that happens in God's house too. And God's made provision on how to settle those types of things. And so, again, God the Father, Christ are not only our Savior, but our brother. And one another, we are brethren to one another. All Christians are children of God. You can't be a Christian and not be a child of God, right? Sons and heirs, Romans 8, 15 and 16, and Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. And again, when we think about this idea of being an heir, what does that mean? What's it mean to be an heir?
You have an inheritance.
Good. Something that's going to be given to you, right? Something that originates with the parent but is passed on to the child. Galatians 3, verse 26. And if Christ said, are you Abraham's seed? And finish that. It says something according to the promise. Heirs, according to the promise. You know, sometimes the Bible talks about promises, and when He talks about a promise, we're not going to understand that passage except we understand what promise He's talking about. And in Galatians chapter 3, what promise is He talking about? What's the context of that? He says, if we be Christ, then we're Abraham's seed. And folks, I'm not a Jew, and even if I was a Jew, I couldn't prove I was a Jew, so no use in saying I'm a Jew. Right? But yet the Bible says that if I've been baptized into Christ, then I'm a child of God by faith in Christ. And if I'm in Christ, then I'm Abraham's seed. And if I'm Abraham's seed, then I'm heirs according to the promise. Well, what promise does that bring to your mind? Was there ever a promise associated with Abraham? What was that promise associated with him? Now, God didn't promise me the land of Canaan. God didn't promise to make my seed as the dust of the sea or the stars of heaven. But there is a promise by which we are recipients and beneficiaries, which was...
Yeah.
Exactly. That, yes, that's right. Hey, remember, we made that threefold promise to Abraham, Genesis chapter 12 and 15. That was then also made with Isaac and Jacob. Don't forget about that. Then he talks about, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. And you can continue to read and study that. But don't miss that point. Children of God, children of the devil. Well, I was reading this as I was studying for the lesson tonight, and it just struck me that this must have been put in our book just to make a point. Right? I mean, it is kind of, it's a side note as to what we've been talking about, but it does establish a good point for us. 1 John 3:10, in this, the children of God are manifest. You might want to underscore children of God. And the children of the devil. You might want to underscore children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And so, this drives the point home that when you're thinking about the household of God, you're thinking about the family of God. And folks, we're either in the family of God, and if we're not in the family of God, well, there's only one other alternative to that. And that would be what?
Children
of the devil. Family of the devil. Now, we may not like the way that that sounds, but that's just the reality of it, right? I understand that's strong. Those are not my words, right? A part of us might want to make it more palatable to people, but the Holy Spirit said those words, right? And we need to be able to kindly point that out to people, that if we're not in the family of God, the reality is that we're serving the devil, right? Living for him. And he talks about church of God the Father, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. That's also in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the first opening verses, you'll find that similar phrase. And when the Bible talks about the church of, what does that mean? The church of, may talk about the church of the firstborn, may talk about the church of God the Father, about the church of Christ.
Belonging to.
Yeah, belonging to. That's what this lesson's focused on, these points that are being made, is when we are in the household of God, we belong to God. We're in His family. He's our Father. Right? And there's some things that inescapably come with that. And so, here's the conclusion. The only logical conclusion that we can come up with when we look at that. that all of God's children are in God's family. You agree with that? I do too. See, in unity, beautiful. The Bible talks about that. Hold how good a place it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God's family is the church. That point has been established. Therefore, all of God's children are in the church. And you could just go on and on with that, but I would ask you the question, does it make a difference then as to what church we're a member of? When we talk about the household of God, you better believe it makes a difference. So we don't say that with arrogance or an upturned nose. But again, you can't get around that point. All right.
Actually, there's only one church.
That's right. That's right. You can say that with confidence, not in self, but in confidence of the Scriptures pointing that out. And our little pencil, I got down there before the point did, but you know why that's there. We'll get there in just a moment. But with that relationship, the relationship with God, the relationship with Jesus, the relationship with one another, come some blessings. I will tell you that I look forward to being here on Wednesday night. Now, there's times I'm tired, and I think about being tired, but I look forward to being here to be able to see those of like precious faith because you encourage me, and I need that boost. I submit to you, I need it. I look forward to Sunday. How many times, what do we do around holidays individually? Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter, and other things that as individuals, which it's okay as individuals to do some things with those times of the year. But what do we typically do? We make plans to spend time with the family because we love to be with one another. Right? At least we ought to love to be with one another. How much more so when we think about the household of God? And then, rather than say, you know, I get to go do that, we have this attitude of, I've got to go do that. I've got to go see Lowell. Now, I don't think that Lowell. I'm just using it for an example. I'm just saying, I've got to go see. Right? And we don't think that, though, as though it's a dread, and it shouldn't be a dread. With joy, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. David said, Psalm 122:1. We've already identified that we're the house of the Lord. And so, if I'm glad to go to the house of the Lord, then really what I'm saying is I'm glad to go be among God's people. Some blessings that come along with it. Approach to God as our Father. Matthew 6:6-9, He's getting ready to give them what we call a model prayer. When you pray, pray after this manner. He's not talking about pray by rote or pray by repetition. Our Father who art in heaven. It's a blessing in this relationship to be able to approach the very being who created us as our Father. And to be able to go to Him in prayer. Knowing that His ears are open to us. That His eyes are over us. That He hears our prayers. Ephesians 3:14. What's that Scripture say?
This reason I bow my knees before the Father.
Yeah. Bow our knees before the Father. It's a blessing. Christ, our great high priest and advocate to plead our cause. Hebrews 4:14 talks about Him being our high priest. And verse 15, that He was touched with our infirmities, and in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And therefore, that is, as a result of that, let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy to find grace in and help in time of need. Chapter 10:21. And having a high priest over the house of God. And someone tell us what 1 John 2:1 says.
My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
Good. Advocate means what? What is an advocate? Sometimes there's a court-appointed advocate,
someone,
right?
Someone who pleads your case.
Yeah, someone who pleads your case. I can't help but to think of someone who pleads a case or speaks on the behalf of a vulnerable person, right? See, Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us. Hebrews chapter, or Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Receive the Holy Spirit because we're sons. I want to go through these and I want to make some comments about this. To walk by the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. The Spirit is the truth. Someone read for us Romans chapter 8, verse 14.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God.
Okay. Are we led by the Spirit? According to that passage, would you answer that in the affirmative?
Yes.
We need to understand how the Spirit does what He does. The reason I put John 1:17 and 1 John 5:7 in red, now that point wasn't made in this, and it needs to be made. 1 John 1:17 and 1 John 5:7 does not say that the Spirit is the truth. The Spirit revealed the truth. When you read John chapter 1, verse 17, who does that identify brought truth? Yeah, you're right. Jesus. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is identified as the truth. Jesus was identified as the Word in John chapter 1. Father, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. John 17:17. 1 John 5:7. If someone is already there, you can go ahead and read that.
There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one.
Okay. Did not identify the Spirit as being the truth in that passage. Now, might have been a reference that perhaps should have been there that wasn't there, but I just caution you on those that those passages are not saying that the Spirit is truth. The Spirit revealed truth. But we walk by the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. The apostles were promised to be guided by the Spirit, revealed to them the truth, and they pinned it down. And so the only way that is accomplished in us today is by the instrumentality of the Word, not some literal personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Give you a good passage that before we move on, because our time is going, is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. A good commentary on that is Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So the only way that we are filled with the Spirit is when the Word of Christ dwells in us richly in all wisdom. We needed to stop and make that point. Anybody else have any point you want to go along with that? By the way, everything, when you talk to your friends about, and they talk about the Holy Spirit, everything that they say the Holy Spirit does for the Christian, you can show them a Bible passage where that's accomplished by the Word. Time goes quick. God's fatherly provision, that's a blessing. God will take care of us. Matthew chapter 6 talks about that. Right? God's fatherly correction, Hebrews chapter 12. A father corrects the son for our benefit. God's fatherly protection. And God's ever-present love. And there's where our little correction book comes in at, and it was just a simple correction. I think your book said 38 through 89, and obviously it's 39. an heir of God. We've talked about that. This relationship demands separation from the world. 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 18, be therefore separate, right? Come out from among them. Don't mean to be a hermit, kind of blockade ourselves off from the world, right? Some have attempted to do that, right? But that's not what he's talking about. Don't partake of the things of the world. 1 John 2:15 and 16, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Talk about the sin that is in the world. Our relationship to God demands that. Do we fall short of that from time to time? Absolutely. Don't excuse it, but yes, we do. And if we did it, then the Bible would not have included what to do if that does happen, by the way. If that's not possible, it demands obedience as children. Walk not after the flesh. Sometimes things tempt us, tempt this body of flesh, but we're not to succumb to that. 1 Corinthians 9:27 is another good passage about that. Wear a family name.
I know we're almost out of time, but something just aggravates me.
Okay.
In Athens, Paul told everybody that all are the offspring of God. Mm-hmm. And there's one thing that I've never, hardly ever heard mentioned, that Jesus said was one of the ways of the law.
Okay.
That word was mercy. I've never heard a sermon on it. I rarely see children of God do it. Especially by word, let alone, I don't know what you do indeed, because you're not supposed to know what the left hand does with the right. But out of their mouth, concerning other people of the world, they're children of God too. They're not obedient. They're not part of the church. But we're not supposed to just treat them like dirt. It's bad enough that they're going to hell, but we have to put them there while they're here. Why ain't mercy up here with learning? We put learning up here to the sky. We put the mercy down here by our feet. And I don't understand it. I plumbed through this book, and I didn't even see the word in there. I wish we could put that in there somewhere when we're talking more often.
I'll try to see what we can do with that. In Acts chapter 17, you're right. He's talking about they were worshiping idols, and the point that he's getting over to them is, look, we are the offspring of God, and yet here you're worshiping these idols that can't speak, can't move, nothing coming, all of that. But even your own poets, he said, he's using what their own poets have said, that we are the offspring of God. He said, for as much as then we are the offspring of God and we can move and so forth, then why the idols? We'll try to do that. Love our brethren. 1 John 4:7. How we become children of God. There's no good to talk about the family of God, the household of God, if we don't recognize how we become children of God. Is it okay with you guys to finish up this point in the questions? Okay, good. Thank you. By being born again, John 3:3-5. Not a physical birth, but a spiritual birth. By faith and baptism. Galatians 3:26-27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so we're only children of God by faith in Christ. By obedience to God's Word, 1 Peter 1:22-23. Any questions, comments about that? We have 8 questions in our lesson tonight. If the church, and all these are simple, if the church is God's family, how many churches does God have? I don't think anyone would have a problem seeing that and recognizing that. Now, it might be a hard pill to swallow, depending on your background, but you just can't help but to see that. Number 2, how many of God's children are in the church? All of them. Anybody get anything different for number 1 or number 2?
they're not all faithful.
Yes, you're right. What blessings are available to God's children? Okay. Jesus is our advocate. We can call God our Father. All those things that we listed under the blessedness of this relationship in point three. And there's others you could put under there.
Forgiveness of sins.
Forgiveness of sins.
Inheritance.
Fellowship with one another. And with God and with our Savior, His Son. How do we become children of God?
Obeying the gospel.
Obeying the gospel, right? In a nutshell. As children of God, how must we treat one another? Goes to what Mike is saying. Specifically, this is what the household of God, what we've been talking about. But yes, we have relationships with each other. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Right? Be an example of the believers, Paul would tell Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12. But as children of God, how must we treat one another? What'd you put in that blank?
Before the other.
Okay. With love. Esteeming one another's needs more so than our own. What position God's family is accorded to Christ?
He's head over his house.
He's head over his house. That shows us the connection too of what Paul would talk about in Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1 about him being the head of the church. Right? It was accorded to him. God gave him that position. But also not only is he the head of the church or over his house, he is also in relation to one another, brethren. He's our brother. What is demanded of God's children? Obedience, faithfulness, holiness, steadfast. You could put a lot under that question. Can a child of God be finally disinherited? Which is another way of saying that it's possible to what? To lose your salvation, right? To fall, someone else may say. Any thoughts about that? I know it's a little bit lengthy. But again, I hope we can see the importance of making sure that we look these up and we read them at home and we know what these passages say. I know everyone didn't have a book to do that. So when we do come to class, and we can make the point and go, and you've already looked at that up. Appreciate your patience and your good attention.